Well, good morning. Let's try that one more time. I don't think the sound, I think I'm muted. Rich, I think I'm muted. Hello? I know you guys can hear me, but they can't hear me out in. Is it, are we good? Are we good? Okay, there, maybe. Anyway, well, good morning, everyone, again. Welcome to Living Hope. I'm Pastor Judy, the associate pastor here, and we are, We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. I invite you to greet each other with a greeting that Christians have been using for a very long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you so much. I invite you to pray with me as we start our worship this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for your presence here and for inviting us into this place together with you and with the folks that have gathered with us in this building and online. Lord, you have been so good. In spite of the storms that we have faced, in spite of the circumstances that look hopeless or just look difficult, Lord, you have been so very good, and we are so very thankful this morning. So I pray that you will be with us during this time as we worship you in music, as we worship you in the word, and at the table, Lord. I pray that you will be in all and through all that is said and done today. We thank you and we praise you as we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, as our musicians come, you're invited to join us if you're interested in by standing. If you'd rather sit, that's fine. But we're going to continue worshiping in song. Let him have his way. Thank you.
I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you.
Isn't that the truth? So I got a lot of different messages this week about do this song or this song or that song or change this song. But actually, when somebody requested this song, it kind of became the cornerstone of the worship music today.
Even when I
Amen. I invite you to pray with me, will you? Lord, we thank you for being a way-making God, a promise keeper. Lord, we rest in the fact that we know that we can trust you, that no matter what's happened in our life or is happening in our lives, Lord, you are a good God who loves us, who is making a way for us, who is seeing a way forward for us, Lord. We are so thankful this morning for that promise that you've given us. Lord, this week you've reminded us in so many ways that you love us and you care for us and you are taking care of us in ways that we may not even realize. And we are so grateful this morning, Lord. And I have no doubt, I know for a fact that there are those among us, those that are part of us and are connected to us, Lord, that are struggling this morning. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be with each and every struggle, each and every circumstance, each and every challenge that we face, while at the same time reminding us of your rich blessings to us, of the ways that you have been faithful, the ways that you have brought us through, Lord, so we don't have to fall into despair and discouragement, Lord, but we can be assured and we can rest in the truth that you are who you say you are, and you will do what you say you will do. And then help us, Lord, to remember to rest in that truth. Lord, this morning we are so thankful for Romeo, for the part that he plays in our church, in his ministry to our youth, and we just ask that you would pour yourself out especially on him this morning as he shares the word that you've given to him for us for this morning, for this moment. Be with him. Be with the remainder of this service. And Lord, may your spirit be such a presence this morning that we can't help but go away from here transformed and different, carrying you with us into all the places that we go. For all of this and so much more, Lord, we give you thanks and honor and glory and praise as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to let you do that.
I was just going to throw you right in. Right. That was my fault. That was my fault. We do have a few things to let you know about before Romeo comes and shares the word with us, but if you are needing to get in touch with the church office, with a pastor or someone there with a need, a prayer request or anything, a couple ways you can do that. We've got some green cards in the back. You can fill that out, drop it in the offering box, or you can go to livinghope.info/connect and fill out the connection card there, and we will get it in the office and be glad to respond to you. If you're wanting to give this morning, we appreciate it. And again, we say thank you. We really can't thank our folks here for their generosity. You definitely give sacrificially, and it's so very appreciated, but there's a couple ways you can do that. You can take an envelope in the back table, fill it out, put your offering in, drop it in the box, or you can go to livinghope.info/give. There's a drop-down menu there. You can use that to give to the work of the ministry that we do here, not just on Sundays, but pretty much every day of the week, which is awesome. I love that we don't just open the doors on Sunday, but we're somebody here every day, so pretty much. We do have a couple of announcements. I left my bulletin, so I'm going to borrow yours for a second, make sure I get everything. Thank you. First, we wanted to let you know, coming up July 11th, that's a Saturday, I'm assuming. Of course, you know, don't want to assume too much, but Saturday, July 11th from 9 to noon is a free garage sale. I'm not sure how a sale can be free, but it's going to be, we're going to have items here that if there's something you want to donate, please feel free. If there's something that you need, come and look and see if we have it. And that's going to be coming up. We'll have more information as we get a little closer. July 15th, that's a Wednesday night. How many of you come on Wednesday nights for our Bible discussion? A few of you, yeah. So that Wednesday night, we're not going to be doing a Bible discussion. We're actually going to have missionaries Shahade and Annabelle Twal. Say that 10 times fast. They are our district Lynx missionaries. What is a Lynx missionary? Well, what it is, this is a missionary family. They are, I want to say in Switzerland, but they're in the Eurasia region of the world for the Church of the Nazarene. And they are at home touring around, sharing what they do, sharing their ministry, and honestly, raising a little money because that's how they get their income, is through churches being generous with them. But they're going to be coming on the 15th here to Living Hope, sharing with us what it is they do and the ministry that they are a part of, and the ways that God is really moving and working in that. We would love to have you. If you've ever been here when one of our missionaries has come through, it's tremendous. It's tremendous. We learn so much about what God is doing, not just here in Valpo or here in Northwest Indiana, but God is moving around the world, and we're so very thankful. Joyful Noise Worship is coming up July 16th. It's a Thursday night. Thursday night. And if I've not been to one, I'm going to be honest. I'm generally working, but I hear they're awesome. One of these times I'd really like to be here. I'm going to have to work out my schedule for that purposely. But we'd love to have you join us for that. And I don't know if, do we know who's speaking? Oh, our very own Missy is doing the worship music, and our own pastor Rich is going to be speaking that night. All the more reason for me to work my schedule around to be here, right? Anyway, so before we get started, before Romeo comes up to share the word with us, I'd like if we could just quiet our hearts and our minds for just a minute so we are more able to hear from the Lord. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for gathering us here. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your presence that was here before we got here. Be with Romeo as he shares the word you've given him. And let us not just hear with our ears, but listen with our hearts. And allow it to transform us, Lord, this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, Romeo, we can't wait to hear from you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So, the Lord has really been putting this on my heart because it's a topic that has greatly transformed my entire life, and it's transformed the lives of many people I know as well. And so, I felt like the Lord had really been putting it on me that this is something I wanted to share with the church, and that's fasting. And if you don't know what fasting is, it's abstaining from food for a period of time to deny your flesh and humble yourself to get closer to God. So I know this is a topic that we don't talk about often, just in general. And there's a couple different types of fasting. I didn't put them in here, and I realize I probably should have, but there's partial fasting, which is typically abstaining from certain foods or is abstaining from certain, you know, maybe you choose to skip a couple meals. And then there's total fasting, which is abstaining from food entirely and just staying on liquids. Now, fasting, though, is not meant to be done just to not eat, okay? That's not the purpose there, okay? Fasting always is paired with prayer and with intention, okay? So if you're fasting and you're not praying, you should be praying, okay? Typically, those times when you're not eating are great times where you fill that time with prayer, right? Whether, like I said, it's a partial fast and you're skipping through meals, or if it's a total fast, typically you fill that time with prayer. But Why is fasting important? We see fasting in many different areas of the Bible, okay? But in Matthew chapter 6, I really feel that Christ pulls the importance when he's preaching this sermon. And if you guys don't know, Matthew chapter 6 is where we get the Lord's Prayer. This is where Christ teaches us how to pray, okay? But before the Lord's Prayer and after the Lord's Prayer, there's also some stuff there that are very important, okay? And before the Lord teaches us the Lord's Prayer, he says in Matthew 6, 5 and 6, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the church, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou pray, enter the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father shall seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." So this is Christ before the Lord's Prayer. And this is really important because the terminology that Christ is using here is right in the beginning, he says, "When thou pray." So that means as followers of Christ, as Christians, there is an expectancy that you should have a prayer life, that you should have a personal relationship with Christ. But not just any prayer life. Christ is specifically calling out that you should have a private prayer life with Christ. This is very important because then Jesus here, he uses what I call a definitive statement. He says, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So it's not maybe, it's not a we're going to think about it. It's the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So then Christ gets into the Lord's Prayer from here, which is great that we recite it every Sunday, but it's also a wonderful blueprint of how your prayer life should be as well, which is, that honestly could be a whole nother lesson. Okay. But after the Lord's Prayer, this is something that has always stuck out to me because the very next thing that Christ teaches us to do after he teaches us how to pray is he teaches us how to fast. And I want to point out here these scriptures 16 through 18 because we're going to see here the same terminology that Christ uses when he tells you how you should pray. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." Christ uses the same terminology when he tells us how to pray. He says, "When thou fast," that's when. So not only are we supposed to have an expectancy to pray, but Christ uses this terminology that there's an expectancy to fast in your life as well. And I believe these verses from Christ are so powerful because, like I said earlier, these are definitive statements. That means definitive is there's a completion there. That's what that means. So when you have a private prayer and a private fasting life, it says the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. And I know I'm going to say it again, but it's definitive. That means when you are practicing in this in your life, God will show up in every area that you're fasting for. Okay? Because fasting comes with prayer and intention. So, I wanted to look at two areas in the Bible which talk about fasting. And honestly, there's a bunch of them. If you go through the Bible, look at all the ways the Bible talks about fasting. There's a lot in there, okay? But there's two areas in the Bible that have mostly affected my life when it comes to fasting. And I wanted to just pull those out this morning. And the first one is in Ezra chapter 8. And so I wanted to explain this a little bit before I just start reading the scripture. So Ezra is looking to lead Jews out of captivity back to Jerusalem. And so he's pleading with this king that has Jews in captivity, and he's saying, hey, you know, our God is powerful, and you essentially don't want to be against him, okay? And so he convinces this king to release Jews so he can lead them back to Jerusalem. But the path there is a dangerous route. It is known in history to be a dangerous path. And so Ezra says, then I proclaimed a fast there. So like I said, this is Ezra. He's proclaiming a fast at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for God that seek him. But this power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Before I read that last verse, so Ezra wants to lead the people back to Jerusalem. But he can't ask the king for an army to lead them back, because he just told this king that our God is the most powerful God, and if you are against him, right, then his wrath will be upon you. So he can't be like, hey, our God is the most powerful. By the way, though, we need your army to lead us back safely, right? That's pretty much just saying like, yeah, pretty much, you know, like, I don't believe what I just told you, so we need a little help, okay? And then it says, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So here we go. Fasting is paired with prayer. They besought God, so they're not just fasting, they're praying. And this is a little different than just... This is a little different than you should also have a personal fasting life. But this is a call to fast. This is also important for us as a congregation, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that not only should you have a private fasting life, but this is a call to fast, which is where we come together as one for whatever it may be, and we fast together. This one's been important in my life because I've been blessed to be raised in a family where my mom and dad often practice fasting. We've had some crazy trials in our life, but my parents just always practiced it, no matter what. And I've been blessed to have a dad and a brother where we practice this call to fast. And it doesn't matter whether I'm going through something big or small, my brother, my dad, or if people around us that we know are going through something, we have a call to fast. And at any point, at any day, at any week, it doesn't matter what it is, my brother, dad, and I can reach out to each other, we text each other, we call each other, and we say, hey, this is a call to fast. And this is why. We want to see this tackled. We want to see this removed. We want to see whatever it may be. And we fast. And What we do when we do this is a partial fast, where we'll skip meals. We pray with each. We just pray throughout our day, and then we don't eat anything until we find time to pray together. And then we continue that cycle until we see the promise that Jesus gives us, that there will be a reward, so that we will see an outcome, whether it's the outcome we envision in our head or it's the outcome Jesus gives us. Because sometimes the outcome in our head is not always, you know, what Jesus is delivering, okay? But we do that until an outcome is there. And that's a call to fast. I encourage anybody here that if you're looking to practice fasting and you want to do it with people and have that that unity as well, you should have a private fasting life. But this is also something good to do together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the next one is in Joel. And this one is what greatly changed my entire life. These verses in Joel are a complete, what I really believe have been a turning point in my life. And I'm looking at this, wow, I'm flying through, and I'm sorry, guys. I'm always quick with these sermons. Whoops. But before I read these scriptures, I just want to share a little bit. And I know some of you have heard it, and maybe some of you haven't, and maybe people online haven't heard all of my testimony. But I've talked about my decade-long fight with suicide. And I've been open about that. For a decade of my life, I fought with the want to just end it all. And that was a huge struggle where, as I fought with that, I just felt myself get further and further away from Christ. And to the point where it's like, I was just so ashamed. I had lost my identity. I had really lost my relationship with Christ. I was ashamed of how far I've gotten, to the point where I could barely pray anymore. And so I've shared before that I would often pray just to get to tomorrow, because sometimes that was the easiest prayer that I could make, was just to get to the next day. And I figured if I could get to the next day, then it would be all right, we'll get to the next day. But even as I prayed that prayer often to get to the next day, after a decade of fighting this, it really started to wear me down. Couldn't take it anymore. And then, which led to plans and other things where I was ready to head out. And then I read Joel. And it says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord our God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Y'all, these verses right here became my last-ditch effort to stay here. Like I said, I was tired of fighting that battle. No. And I'm gonna talk about how this delivered. Yeah, so these verses, like I said, became my last-ditch effort. Because it says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." And so I said, okay, God, if this is you showing me this, then I'm going to go for it, right? And so I started to fast, and I turned towards God, and I started to pray, and I wept, and I mourned, and I cried out to God, and I continued to do that, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I wept, and I mourned, and I cried out, and I continued to fast, and I continued to do this, because that's what it says in Joel. And then one morning, I'll never forget it, one morning, I woke up with peace. It was the first morning that I had woken up with peace in a decade. I haven't struggled with that ever since. I knew when I woke up that morning with peace, I began to cry because I knew that battle was over. And like I said, this was the turning point in my life. It's also where I knew that I need to get back to Christ and I need to move into the calling that he put on me. Yeah, Jesus knocked it out. I haven't had a problem since. And so I wanted to talk about this morning because I know that there are people here that it doesn't matter what it is you're going through. Big, small, whether it's addictions, whether it's temptations, whether it's clarity you need in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. Jesus can tackle it. But this is so important that if you've been fighting something and you've been struggling with areas in your life and you don't know how to get through it, and Joel, it says, turn with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. If you're willing to humble yourself before the Lord, if you're willing to surrender, if you're willing to just strip it all away and say, God, I'm willing to fast, I'm willing to weep, and I'm willing to mourn, and I'm willing to cry out to you. There is nothing that God can't accomplish in your life. And I mean nothing. I watched a decade-long fight dissipate by just applying this in my life and also realizing that the definitive statements that Christ made, that he will show up if you practice this. Yeah. So take a moment to pray. Dear God, we worship you and praise you, Father. We just thank you so much, Lord. Father, I just ask that that this sermon, Lord, just resonates with the people here, that if they're going through things, Lord, that you would just show them that that you are a graceful, a merciful, a kind God. And sometimes you're just waiting for us to dive a little deeper, to dig a little more and say, God, that I'm willing to humble myself because my want to eat, my want to please my flesh is not greater than the want to see you intercede in our lives over different areas. Father, I just thank you so much for everything that you've done in my life, Lord, that the opportunity to even be here and speak over this is something I wouldn't even have if you didn't deliver on your promises, in which you always do. We just thank you so much, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So, Pastor Judy's gonna come up and we're gonna do communion. And communion is obviously, it's for anybody and everybody, whether you're following Christ or you're looking to get closer to God or you're not there yet, you can come take communion. It's for everyone. And what I would like to do is after we do the Lord's Prayer and Missy comes up to lead in worship, I would like to stay in the same vein that Pastor Judy paved for us last week. And as we're doing communion, I'm going to be off to the side here. And if there's anybody that just needs things tackled in their life, struggles, whatever they may be, you want to see the end to certain things you're going through, I would love to pray with you guys. And also, if anybody is looking to practice fasting, but you may feel like you're not ready to do it on your own, I'm open to a call to fast. I would love to fast with anybody here and pray with anybody here. If that's something that you need encouragement with, please let me know. I would love to practice a call to fast with anyone here. Can we recite the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
For communion, I just want to take a moment so that we can bless the elements that we're about to receive and to give a couple of instructions. Father, we do thank you for inviting us to your table this morning, for the bread and for the cup and what it represents. Your body broken for us and your blood poured out for us, Lord, so that we can find redemption and reconciliation. Lord, your sacrifice has made a way for us, and we can only say thank you and bless your name in the midst of it. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be here with a basket of bread with wafers and some pita bread, the gluten-free, round gluten-free wafers if you need them. Take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and partake of it. Go ahead and either go back to your seats or step over to pray with Romeo. If you prefer not to be in line and around other people, we do have some prepackaged elements in the back you are welcome to partake of. We do not want any barriers to get in the way of people being able to receive from the table of the Lord this morning. So with that, and with Missy leading us in worship again, you're invited to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you again this morning for your presence here with us and for the way you've spoken to each of us, to encourage us, maybe to admonish us, to challenge us, Lord, to go deeper into you and with you, Lord, and to do what it is we have to do to break through in these places in our lives that we just don't see any movement. We don't see anything improving. Lord, for those strongholds and those barriers that we can't see a way out of, remind us, Lord, to fast and to pray for those places. Until we see your hand, until we see you move, until you give us clear instructions, Lord, may we stay with it, keep at it, be diligent and committed, Lord, to seeking your face as well as your hand. Go with us from this place with what we have learned today, Lord. And may we be people, Lord, that reflect you to those around us, so that there's no doubt in people's minds that we've encountered you and it has changed us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.